We come bowing down before your throne. We know that we could never repay all we owe, but you said that we could come before you as we are, as we are.
Following is a presentation of the Heart to Heart 2015 Women's Bible Study in the Book of Mark, titled Servant, Sacrifice, Savior. If you'd like more information about this ministry, please go to www.refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Now let's get into the study.
There was a question asked, apparently. Again, I didn't hear it, so I heard it through somebody. There was a question that was asked of Greg about why did it have to be an animal sacrifice? Why was it the Lamb of God that had to be killed? Why does there have to be the shedding of blood for the remissions of sin? All of you guys already know this. I'm sure that you guys already know this. In the Garden of Eden, what did they have? They found they had sinned. What they have that covered them, it was the skin of animals that covered them. To get the skins of the animals, God had to kill the animal to be able to cover them, to cover their sin with the blood of an animal, which with the shedding of the blood. He didn't cover them with blood, but with the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. So that answers the question of anybody was wondering about that. And apparently you weren't, because you're all staring at me like, okay, so what's next? What are we doing? Okay, then. And we're going to just start out, and we're going to read through our portion of text. And we are in chapter 14, starting with verse 27. But then Jesus said to them, "All of you will be made to stumble because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee." Peter said to him, "Even if all are made to stumble, yet I will not be." And Jesus said to him, "Assuredly, I say to you that today, even this night, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times." But he spoke more vehemently, "If I have to die with you, I will not deny you." And they all said likewise. And then they came to a place which was called Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." And he took Peter, James, and John with him, and he began to be troubled and deeply distressed. And then he said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, given to death. Stay, even to death, stay here and watch." He went a little farther and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. But nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will." And then he came and he found them sleeping and said to Peter, "Simon, are you sleeping? Could you not watch 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again, he went away and he prayed and he spoke the same words to his father. And then he returned. He found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy and they did not know what to answer him. Then he came the third time and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? It's enough. The hour has come. Behold, the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." And so, Father, as we just look into this portion of our text, this portion of your word right now, Lord, we are thankful, Lord. We are thankful to be in your presence. We are thankful, Lord, that you have left this word, that we might hear it and believe. Lord, that we would be drawn to you because of what we're reading here, because of what we're learning in this book, Lord. I thank you, Father, for your presence with us. We are blessed beyond so many others, Lord. You have loved us with an everlasting love, and it's your loving kindness that has drawn us. We come to you with grateful hearts, Lord, for the privilege that we have of just being here in your presence. Lord, speak your word, please, by the power of your Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus. Amen. This morning, I was talking about it being unseasonal as we go through this portion of our text because, you know, Easter is already gone over and everything. And someone reminded me, no, it's not out of season because here we are right in the middle of Passover. Passover's going on, what, at the end of this month? Do I have that correct? The 23rd. Okay. Starts on, the 23rd of April. So, there you go. We're right on time, just as God always promised we would be. And so all of you, it says in our text in verse 27, all of you will be made to stumble. And then he goes into, Jesus says about Zechariah 13:7, I will strike the shepherd, the sheep will be scattered. And that's exactly what happened. And you are going to be scattered, but after I have been raised, I am going before you into Galilee. You see, Jesus always goes before us. He always goes before us. These words were not of a mere martyr facing death, but one who overcame, who would conquer that death. John 10:18 and Revelation 1:18 as well. You remember, he said, I am going before you into Galilee. You might not recall because you haven't gotten there yet, but from reading the other scriptures, he said that I was going to go before you to Galilee. And in chapter 16 of the book of Mark, we're going to see that the disciples had to be reminded to go to Galilee. They had forgotten. It took them 3 days. The angel had to come to them and say, you're supposed to be getting to Galilee. Get on the road. Let's go. And so here they are. He's saying exactly what's going to happen. Jesus always goes before us. And then we have in verse 29, Peter said to him, even if all are made to stumble, I will not be. And Jesus said, before the morning time comes, you are going to deny me 3 times. Before this night is over, you're going to deny me 3 times. Peter said, oh, no, that could never, never happen. He insisted he would never deny Jesus. Of course, we know that Jesus was exactly right. And what happened, we'll look at that next week in what happened with Peter, and we'll look at a number of other things in the last part of this chapter. But here's the thing. This is something that we do know. Jesus prayed for Peter. Jesus prayed for his disciples. Turn with me to John 17. Now, John 17 is really the real Lord's Prayer. When we think about the Lord's Prayer, we think about our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, that he was teaching them. They said, how should we pray? And he said, this is the manner in which you should pray. But here in chapter 17 of the book of John is what Jesus prayed for his disciples, for the people that were following after him. And it says, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you, as you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given to him. And this is eternal life. You want to know what eternal life is? It's right here in verse 3 of chapter 17. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you, for I have given to them the words which you have given to me, and they have received them and have known surely that I came forth from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. And all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you, Holy Father. Keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with you in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I have kept, and none of them is lost except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled, speaking of Judas. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world, and for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their words. That's us that he's praying for. That they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you. That they also may be one in us. That the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me I have given them. And they may be one just as we are one. I in them, you in me. That they may be made perfect in one. That the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which you have given me, for you loved me because before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you sent me. And I have declared to them your name and will declare it, that the love with which you loved me may be in them and I in them. And so here we have in chapter 17, the real Lord's Prayer. Jesus acknowledges that his time has come to glorify the Father. He explains in verse 3 what is eternal life, that they may know you, have glorified you on earth. I've manifested your name. I've given you the words that you have given me, and I've received them, and I know and believe that you sent me. And verse 9, I pray for them, he said. In verse 14, I have given them your word. Don't take them out of the world, but keep them by the power of your might from the evil one. As you sent me into the world, I went into the world. I don't pray for these alone, but I pray for those who will come to know Christ, and that's you and I. Turn to Luke 22. And we'll keep moving on. The disciples here in Luke 22, the disciples are disputing who is going to be the greatest. And then they are also talking about who would betray Jesus. And in verse 31, Jesus tells Peter, "Indeed, Satan has asked for you specifically." Jesus has asked for you specifically to sift like wheat, just like he did with Job. He asked specifically for Peter. And it's, but I have prayed for you. Verse 32 in Luke 22, verse 32, Jesus says, "But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, you have a job to do. Not if you return to me, but when you return to me." You see, Jesus knew that he'd be back. And Jesus needed Peter to know that he would be back. So when you return, that you would, that was verse 32, when you return to me, you have a job to do, and that is to strengthen the brethren. You are to strengthen the brethren. It's all redeemable. God has a place for you when you return to him, a place at the table, a place to return to. Verse 33, it says, oh, I'll go to prison for you. I'll go to death. Oh, yeah? Oh, yeah? Says Jesus. Oh, yeah? Let me tell you something, Peter. This is another story of what we've just read. Three times, you're going to deny me three times before the rooster is finished crowing in the morning. That's by dawn tomorrow morning. You're going to deny me three times. You ever been in a place on the farm or any area that had had a rooster? This morning they had a rooster out on the table there, a glass one. not real, but it was a true looking rooster. And this morning I called him a roaster, so you know. And the rooster was going to be in the roaster, but I don't know, it just kind of all went together. They are at the crack of dawn. They're making their racket. Before the crack of dawn. This is late night right now, and before the crack of dawn, you are going to deny me three times, Peter. John 13:19, Jesus says that I am telling you these things before it comes, that when it comes to pass, you may believe that I am he. That you may believe that I am he. Let's go back to chapter 14 of Mark. In verse 32, they went to Gethsemane. You know what Gethsemane means. It means the oil press. Olives needed to be pressed, and they produced oil for healing. They produced oil for light. They produced oil for heat. It had the olive has to be pressed in there, and that's what was happening to Jesus right now. He was being pressed in at all sides, and it was the oil of the Holy Spirit that would come out of him at this time of mourning and at this time of facing this. And then in verse 34, he said to them, you guys stay here. Let's just look. My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch. Stay here and watch. Watch what? Watch TV, watch the birds, watch. What does that mean? Stay here and watch. Watch for what? Watch how you go off and pray? Watch what is going to happen next? What are we supposed to be watching? Watch, Jesus said. Be awake. Be aware. Be aware of what is around you and what's going on. What do they tell you when you're out on the streets, especially as a woman? They tell you to be aware of your surroundings. Look like you know where you're going. Even if you don't know where you're going, still look like it. And hold the keys between your middle fingers right here. And so, but know, give the appearance that you know. Be aware of what's going on around you. Do any of you guys watch Elementary? Sherlock Holmes sort of thing. The thing about Sherlock Holmes was that he always noticed everything that was going on. He paid attention to everything. He was probably ADD. And so that's the thing with ADD people. It's not that they, you know, they just see everything. They are distracted by everything. They're seeing everything. And this is what Jesus is telling us. Be aware of your surroundings. Pay attention. Pay attention when Jesus speaks. Pay attention. Ezekiel 62:6, the watchman on the wall is looking for the enemy. That's what these guys should have been doing. They should have been as watchmen on the wall. In verse 35, Jesus fell to the ground and he prayed and he asked if it's possible, if this cup, if this hour could pass without me. Can we do this without me? Is there any other way, Father? Any other way? But then he goes on to say, but not my will, but thine be done. He knew this is why he had come. He knew what was ahead of him. He knew what was about to happen. He would be made sin, 2 Corinthians 5:21. He would be the bearer of the curse of the law, Galatians 3:13. So he would be made sin. He would bear the curse of the law, and he would be raised. Hebrews 5, 7 through 9. In verse 36, he says, Father, all things are possible for you. All things are possible for you. You could make another way. But this is not your choice, God. Father, this is not your choice. Your choice is that we should go in this direction. You can do anything. Let this cup pass from me. This cup of suffering, this cup of pain, this cup of separation that would take place as the sin of the world would be laid on him. Not my will, but thine be done. I had a little thing that I copied, actually, word for word, from my old Pilgrim Bible. Anybody ever had a Pilgrim Bible? This is the most precious Bible that I have. I love this little Bible from when I first came to know Jesus. And they don't make them anymore. But it has so much stuff in it. And of course, I had to read it with a magnifying glass and my glasses to be able to read it because it was so tiny. But it says, this cup, every ingredient in that cup was known to our Savior and Lord, but it was his delight to do the Father's will. It was his delight to do the Father's will. He knew that God would pour his wrath against sin into the cup, and he consented to drink it and did so on the cross, for it is what he came to earth to do, John 12, 27. Was it not the separation when the Father was to turn his face from the Son, thus breaking the perfect communion of the eternal ages for the first time, which was the most bitter of the dregs? That's what was the thing that was the most bitter for Jesus, that separation from his Father. But he was submissive and obedient to the Father's will, and now he holds in his pierced hand the chalice of blessing that the poor sinners may drink abundantly. You see why I couldn't put it in my own words. So beautiful. What a picture there of what Jesus has done for us. And so he comes to them in verse 37. Then he came and he found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, interesting that he picked out Peter. Just Peter. He said to Peter, Simon, are you sleeping? Could you not watch 1 hour? My question is, when was the last time that any of us watched for an hour, prayed for an hour? We pray for 3 minutes and we're like, I don't know. Or we drift off to sleep. I got to tell you, this is really good. I'll tell you in a little bit here. Yeah, because it really is good. He comes and he finds them sleeping. Couldn't you watch for an hour? Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. He comes and he finds them sleeping. Can't you watch for 1 hour? See, 1 hour, they didn't know that Jesus was going to come back in 1 hour. They didn't know if he was going to come back later that night. They didn't know if he was going to come back 15 minutes. But he told them to watch. Now he says, watch and pray. But they were sleeping. They were sleeping. Sleep is a natural thing to do. Sleep, this is the definition that I found. Sleep is a naturally recurring state of mind characterized by altered sensory activity, inhibition of nearly all voluntary muscles, and reduced interactions with surroundings, decreased ability to react to stimuli. What happened when Samson was sleeping, laying his head on the enemy's knee? He had a decreased ability to react to stimuli. He had an altered sensory activity because he had not altered, T-A-R-E-D, his sensory activity. Or he wouldn't have been with Delilah. The couples retreat that we just did this weekend, Bill and I, It was really funny because apparently the guys decided to call the phones Delilah. And I don't know what they said about Delilah in these phones, but when we came to dinner, none of the guys brought their phones out. If someone just took their phone out of their pocket and laid it on the table, the other guys would go, Delilah, Delilah. And they were, oh, no, 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 it's Delilah. So I don't know what they did with that, but I think it sounds good. I think it's very fitting. When Samson was sleeping, he lost two things. He lost his witness and he lost his strength. He lost his witness and he lost his strength. And so it is with us when we're asleep to the things of God. We can easily lose our witness and our strength when we are asleep to the things of God. We lose our witness and we lose our strength. Because when we are tired physically, we act differently, don't we? We don't pay close attention. I get angry faster. I don't know. Probably none of you guys do. But I want to eat anything that's in my sight. I'm not a nice person when I'm tired. But I can, we need to keep our witness, keep our strength. And so it is with us. We can easily lose our witness and our strength. In verse 38, he said, watch and pray. Watch and pray. Be alert so that you don't willfully enter into temptation. It says here, watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. You know that it's not a sin to be tempted. But if you enter into that temptation, then it is sin. Because the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. The war of the spirit and the flesh. You've all heard the stories, no doubt, of the war between the flesh and the spirit. If you have two dogs, which one is going to grow the most is the one that you feed the most. If you are feeding the flesh, that's what's going to grow in you. If you feed the spirit, that's the one that's going to grow. The one that you feed the most. Are you in the Word? Are you praying? Are you seeking the Lord's direction? Are you paying attention to what He has to say? Are you watching? Are you praying? Are you feeding yourself spiritually? That's what this is all about. Everything in me wants to stay awake, and that's why that other part that I just said about how nasty I am when I'm asleep came before it was supposed to in my notes. And so, watch and pray. What is prayer? Prayer is taking all that you see to the Lord. Taking all that you see to the Lord. That's what simple prayer is. Prayer, taking all that you see to the Lord. Philippians 4:6, pray about everything. Pray about everything. Psalm 55:17, evening, morning, and noon, I will pray. Morning, evening, and noon, I will pray. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. That's a whole thing all on its own. Pray without ceasing. Pay attention to what God has to say. Again, in verse 39, again he went away and prayed and spoke the same words. And when he returned, he found them asleep again. For their eyes were heavy, and they didn't know what to answer him. Can you imagine the sense, the feeling that they must have had? Well, how would you feel? Jesus comes again and goes, dude, come on, wake up. Couldn't you do it for another hour? Come on. Oh, I'm sorry. Can you see him? I wonder what the face of Jesus looked like at that time. I don't know. What do you think? Couldn't you just stay awake for an hour? Couldn't you stay awake for an hour? Guys, couldn't you stay awake for an hour? There's so much ahead of us. What was the face of Jesus looking like at that particular time? Put yourself in the picture. When you are reading the Word of God, put yourself in the picture and think about, what was it like in that? What was going on around? Be aware of the surroundings in what you're reading. Pay attention. And then he came the third time and he said to them, all right, are you still sleeping and resting? It's enough. We're done. We're done. The hour has come. Behold, the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand. My betrayer is at hand. Could you see them as Jesus looks out into the distance and he sees the guys coming with their torches or with whatever they were carrying for light? They're coming. They're here. I can see them. The hour's come. I'm heading toward what I've already told you about. Can you see them coming up toward him? Next week, you'll get more information on that and how that all comes together and what happens afterwards. Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. Watch and pray. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Which one are you feeding? Which one are you feeding, your flesh or your spirit? It's a question you need to ask yourself. Please be praying for the Breaking Through Conference. Again, particularly for parking, please pray for Shannon. Bill made mention of her throat is really messed up. And she is not supposed to talk. She is not supposed to sing for all week. And she's supposed to do part of the Breaking Through. She's supposed to do worship for them. And so people that are involved in Breaking Through are going through lots of stuff. The people who are the key people are really going through a lot of stuff. One of the gals' father is in the hospital right now. There's just a lot going on. So please be praying for what's going to happen there. Please be praying that we will be sensitive to how, it doesn't matter how many people come in here. Everybody who comes in here is going to be by the Lord's direction. Do we have enough room for everybody? I don't know. God knows how many people we have room for. And he knows what we need to prepare for. So just wisdom on our part that we would be prepared for anything. And just that it would be glorifying to the Lord. So next week, we're going to be looking at the betrayal of Jesus and the denial of Peter. Just like Jesus said, don't miss next week. We are just entering into Passover. Please get your tickets for the luncheon. We sell out quickly, so I don't want you to miss out. And it is so neat to be a part of you guys. I love being here. I love being amongst you guys. I am blessed beyond words. Because I get to talk to you guys. I get to see your faces. I get to see the things that the Lord touching you. And I got to tell you, from time to time, I can see the Holy Spirit on different ones of you. I don't mean to be out there. I'm not being weird. I'm just saying that sometimes the Lord points some of you guys out to me. And I am blessed. I am blessed. And so, Lord, as we just move on into our small groups, Lord. May you be glorified in our midst. May you be the one who's lifted up, Lord. May you be glorified. And Lord, I pray for our nation. In the name of Jesus, Lord, would you give us wisdom from you and you alone, Lord, in knowing how to vote this year, Lord, because you know who is. Father, forgive us as a nation. Father, we pray for mercy. We pray for grace, Lord. We pray for those of us who are Christians to be sincere and to be serious about what we say that we believe and that we would walk in a way that is like we believe, Lord. I thank you for what I just heard tonight on Eileen's sister who led somebody to the Lord in Stater Brothers. I am so excited about that, Lord. Thank you, Father, for this new believer that's in your kingdom. Help us to have that same boldness, Lord. We bless you. We love you. We are honored to be in your family. In Jesus' name, amen. Giving up, letting go, standing up.
stepping out, walking on in the power of your name. I'm giving up, letting go, standing up, stepping out, walking on in the power of your name.
This has been a presentation of the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry at Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about this ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.